the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus drew near to the village, 10 lepers lifted up their voices. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when the one returned, praising God with a loud voice, and fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, "Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the well-known story in Luke 17, the healing of the 10 lepers, we will focus on 3 words that describe what happened for them and what happens for us: Master, mercy, and mission. We have a master, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us mercy and gives us a mission to carry out, each one of us, for our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not only your Savior and friend, he is your master, and you are his servant. He has shown you mercy. You got up this morning and your heart was beating. You were alive. You experienced his mercy and the forgiveness of sins poured out upon you in the Holy Spirit. He has been merciful to you and to me. And there is a purpose and a mission for every single person who has created. You are alive because God has a mission for you. Who is Jesus? Our Master. What has he shown us? Mercy. And how then do we live our lives? According to his mission. So let's begin with, what does it mean that Jesus is our Master? Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. He's heading towards the cross, which he knows lies ahead. But he goes and wanders through Samaria and Galilee because he has other work to do. And when he enters a village, there are 10 lepers standing at a distance. Leprosy is a terrible skin disease which is communicable. And so lepers had to live on the outskirts of town. They could not live near the general populace because that disease could spread among the people. So they always had to live out in leper colonies on the outskirts of town, a woeful existence for them. But they've heard about Jesus. So even from a distance, they lift up their voices and call Jesus, Master. These lepers knew who Jesus was. Jesus was doing many miracles of healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and they know who Jesus is. And in fact, Jesus' name, Yeshua, means Savior, one who saves. And they call him Master, the word for ruler, or Lord, or sovereign head. By calling Jesus his name and by calling him Master, they are acknowledging the identity of Jesus. He is a man named Jesus, but he's the Lord, the ruler, and the Master. And they call out to him for help. Christ Jesus is your Master and mine. We call him the Lord of heaven and earth because he's God along with his Father. But we call him Jesus Christ, the crucified one, risen from the dead, who also shares our human nature. The mystery of the unity of the two natures of Christ in one person. He is both God and man in one person. This wondrous mystery, our Master. According to his human nature, as St. Paul said in the epistle lesson, he's from the offspring of David. And when you heard the Old Testament story this morning about beloved Ruth, who was a great-grandparent to David, Jesus was of the line of that Ruth, that faithful Ruth, and of her great-grandson David. Jesus is of the offspring of David, through his mother, the Virgin Mary, and also through his stepfather, Joseph. It is this Christ who proved that he's our master by being crucified and died in our place, being raised on the third day, living, ascending, enduring, reigning forever and ever. He is your master. Look at your own life. You are not the master of your own design. You are not the captain of your fate. You are a servant. Jesus is your master. When you get up in the morning, remember that master is your friend, your redeemer, your savior, and your Lord. Every one of us have the same master, Jesus Christ. It was true for the lepers, and it's true for you and me. Jesus, master, is what we call upon when we're about to confess the creed and call him God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Jesus, our beloved friend, is our master. The second word that we see in this text, however, is the word mercy. Now, having called him master, the lepers cry out, "Jesus, master, have mercy on us." This terrible skin disease was the reason that they called for mercy. When they call for mercy, they realize that apart from Jesus, we have no hope. We're going to live with this terrible ailment. And we sing the Kyrie in the divine service three times when we sing, "Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy." We are echoing all the people through all the pages of Scripture who say, "Lord, apart from you, I am lost. I need mercy." And you know why we sing it three or four times, "Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy"? It is echoing the way the cry for mercy was found all through the pages of the New Testament. If you were a blind man who needed sight, if you were a leper who needed healing, when Jesus walked by, you didn't just go, "Lord, have mercy." You went, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy." And they yelled and they screamed, and sometimes the disciples told them to be quiet, "You're annoying Jesus." But they were not annoying Jesus. They cried out in desperation, "Lord, have mercy on me." And there's times in our lives that we say, "Lord, I have nowhere else to turn. Lord, have mercy on me." That is what servants do with their master. They beg for mercy, and that's what these lepers did. And the reason why Jesus tells them now to go travel to the priests, and while they went, they were cleansed, was that in Israel of the day, if you were cleansed from leprosy, you had to go to the temple, and the priests, like doctors, would look over your skin, be sure the leprosy was gone before you went back to the general public, and that's what they did. But while they go, the leprosy goes away, and their skin is like the skin of a child. One of them returns, but nine do not. And the one who had cried out for mercy who returned praised God with a loud voice. That's called doxology, praise of God. And he fell at Jesus' feet, which is the posture of worship, on his face, and gave Jesus thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The other nine didn't even return. They were like irrational beasts. It's kind of like people who don't believe in God, but the sun comes up and they have a house to live in and they have their food and drink, but they never stop to give God thanks. It's kind of like pigs at a trough that just chomp on the food, never giving thanks to God. But we are not irrational beasts. We are rational human beings made in the image of God who return to give thanks to God, to fall on our knees as we receive his gifts at the Lord's table and give thanks to him for his mercy to us. The Word of God has brought you to faith so that you acknowledge that God has been merciful to you. He has been merciful to you in providing your daily bread and a way to make a living. He's been merciful to you when you were laying in a hospital bed and you're still here today healthy. And most importantly, He has been merciful to you to forgive all of the sins that you've committed of thought, word, and deed. You did not deserve forgiveness, but He forgave them out of His grace and mercy and let that punishment fall upon Himself on the cross of Calvary, and His blood was poured out in our place as our sacrifice. Thus we obtain salvation with eternal glory, St. Paul said. We are the elect, called from all the nations of the world to faith in Christ. We are the Samaritans. We were not part of God's people who fall at Jesus' feet and give Him thanks for His mercy. May your mercy call ever go out every day to Jesus, your Master. And lastly, for each of us, there is a mission. There was a mission for this one leper, and there's a mission for you and me. And this is the mission. Jesus says to the leper, "Rise, stand up, get on your feet, go your way. Your faith has made you well." You're going to rise and stand up and get up on your feet and leave this place today. You will go your way. And each one of us have our own vocation and calling as husband and wife, employer, employee. Your faith has made you well because the object of your faith is Jesus. And because the object of your faith is Jesus, the result of that faith has been physical and spiritual healing for you. Each one of us was conceived in our mother's womb as a unique child. Your fingerprints are different than someone else. And you've been called to faith in Christ Jesus. What is the mission of your life? Now that your Master has had mercy on you, it really isn't that complicated. Have faith in God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you think that's easy, it isn't. You live out your daily life wherever God has placed you, in your home, in your community and neighborhood and at work and in this church, and you have faith in God, not in yourself, and love for your neighbor. We, of course, have a mission here in this congregation, our Trinity Lutheran Outreach and Evangelism. We had hundreds of people come to the block party a couple of weeks ago, and we have all these names of people, many of whom I spoke to were unchurched, are looking for a church home. So we have an opportunity in the neighborhood right around here where we live, by these people who came to the block party, to explain what Jesus' mercy is to them. As one family in our church, all the ministries and the Bible classes and the ministries of Trinity Lutheran Church and our school and childcare and our campus ministry and English as a second language is so that we can bring the mercy of Christ into our campus and town environment and do it joyfully and happily. And as we in November pledge the stewardship of our time, talent, and treasures in gratitude and thankfulness to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can do exactly what the Apostle Paul said in the mission that we have here corporately as a congregation and you and I individually in our own lives. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, St. Paul said. Faithfully teach others. Share in suffering like a good soldier. Don't get entangled by this world. Have an attitude like an athlete who competes according to the rules, and be like a hardworking farmer who sows the seed of the Word of God as God grants its increase. Your life finds its meaning in Jesus. In conclusion, there was a reason why Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. It's true He told the lepers to go up and have the priests look them over. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem to be the true priest, the true high priest of our confession. He was going to the altar of the cross to be sacrificed as the Lamb, and He was the Lamb of God, and He was the priest at the same time. He came to offer the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was Himself. He set His face to Jerusalem, and on the cross, when his blood was spilt, and he said, Father, forgive them. And he said, it is finished. The work of our healing was completed. You see, we may not need healing from leprosy, but we do need healing from sin. And you will not find healing from sin in this world. The world cannot heal your sin. Only Jesus Christ can heal your sin. And thus, as he pours out that forgiveness to you in water and word and holy baptism, he heals your sin. As you hear the word of God preached and the word of absolution saying, your sins are forgiven, he heals your sin. When you kneel here and take Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine for the remission of sin, he heals your sin. And you are redeemed and forgiven so that each and every day the mission of your life is faith in God through Christ Jesus and love for my neighbor. God grant this day that like this one leper who returned and gave thanks to God, you will every day acknowledge Jesus is my master. He has shown mercy to me. Now, Lord, make it clear what the mission of my life is in faith toward you and love toward my neighbor. God grant that that will be a reality in my life and in all of our lives to the glory of his name. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.